Hi everyone, welcome to the Laura Horn Art Podcast. Last week we talked about selling your work and taking those first steps to making a sale. We really focused in on the more practical aspects, but we feel like there's something we didn't cover, so we're going to cover it this week. So we are looking at the psychological side of selling your work. Things like dealing with not feeling good enough, whether your work is up to scratch, whether you're ready to start selling. So I hope you enjoy the podcast and let's get into it.
Hello, Laura. How you going?
So here we are again. This is becoming a very regular routine for us.
It's great. How you feeling?
I'm good. I wasn't feeling good this morning though.
You weren't at all?
No, I woke up very grumpy this morning. And I just felt blah. I guess we all have those days, don't we? Where I just felt overwhelmed, overtired, too many things that I'm trying to do.
You release a course and then you're on this massive high and then you hit this big low.
Yeah, it seemed, I've noticed the pattern that when I do release a course, and particularly if the course is well received and there's lots of lovely feedback coming through, and you do get lifted up by that. It's only human nature. We all like to, yeah, you know, get that reassurance, and then that happens and then suddenly life's back to normal and now we've got to film another class and get, yeah, back into working. And yeah, I seem to have this sort of slump. So I've been in a bit of a slump the last day or two, or over the weekend.
Yeah. But there's a couple of things there that you didn't mention that I know.
Okay. So you always make me nervous when you say things like that.
About two or three days before the course gets released, you are just a big stress ball.
Yes, I do get nervous about whether the class is good enough. And I, yeah, by a little bit of perfectionistic sort of behaviours start to come out, and I keep on tweaking it, and I stay up late. So yeah, if anyone's been following the podcast, you'll know that I'm working on this sleep challenge. Well, I can tell you now that the night before I released my latest online art class, I stayed up till about 3 a.m. Sleep challenge went out the window, and yeah, so I do get nervous. I worry about how it's going to be received, and that's, yeah, part and parcel of the process.
And that's an excellent little segue, because our last podcast was received very well. What happened out of that podcast is that you got asked a question on Instagram, which directly links into what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah,
it was. So what was that question?
It was a great question, and I'll just read it out. So the person wrote, "I love this podcast, and I'm wondering if sometime you could address ambivalence about selling and pricing and such." Now, I didn't quite know what was meant by ambivalence.
Should have asked me. I wouldn't have known.
Big, fancy, long word that it is. So I decided to find out a little bit more about what this was for this person. And
so you wrote back?
I wrote back, and the explanation was, "Yes, I've set up my website and shop, and yet I'm still feeling really sheepish, not mentioning it to anyone, and I realize I have such mixed feelings. I'm not good enough, even though people have asked me to buy my stuff. Also, there are such a range of artists out there, some of whom don't want to monetize their work, and then I feel weird and like maybe I shouldn't. It's complicated. I think maybe I'm still just developing as an artist and I need to build my own unique style and confidence first. Thank you for asking. I've really been grappling with this."
I think that's the perfect question, because that's you a year and a half ago, 2 years ago.
Yeah, I really related to all of this. I've felt many of these things and still do to a certain extent.
And it's great, because you were at the gym today and you were feeling low because of the big spike you've had from the stress of, am I good enough, to releasing the course, to getting this amazing feedback, to back to life. So even now, after all this time and an amazing successful start to your new career, you still struggle with this?
Yeah, I do. I do struggle with thoughts of, am I good enough? You know, do I deserve to be here? Am I really an artist?
Yeah.
All of that sort of stuff. I still, those thoughts still come into my mind and I grapple with them too.
Yeah, well, last week we spoke about the practical side of selling your art. And this question leads more into the, I guess, the psychological side of selling your art.
Yeah, and I think that last week we really got into sort of the practical elements of it all. You know, let's set up a website, let's have a beautiful landing page, let's interact with our community, all those sorts of things. But there's a big piece that I don't think we really dove into, and that is the psychological side of it, the
Absolutely.
Confidence, the having... yeah, having the confidence to sell your art and getting past insecurities and fears that you might have around mm-hmm. putting your art out into the world.
So last week we did the where and the how.
Mm.
And this week we're now trying to touch on the psychological side of it. Now we can only speak for ourselves. You know, we can't say what works for us will work for someone else. And this is open-ended because we still struggle with it.
Yeah, this is an ongoing thing, and it is about, developing ways of dealing with it, but still recognizing that it's not really going to go away as such. Like you're always going to have mm-hmm. doubts and things, but how you approach it and respond to it, and whether you let that become a very big barrier to you actually even doing the thing, or whether it shows up but you're still able to step over it and keep on going with what it is that you're hoping to do.
The very first question that's going to go through your mind before you sell anything is, am I good enough? Are you good enough?
Yeah, gosh, that question. You know, you really do get caught up with feeling like there's other people out there that are doing things better and that you don't really, you know, hold up in the crowd, so to speak. And one of the things that I've learned about is this idea of imposter syndrome. I didn't go to art school, so I have learned through exploring and taking online classes and just figuring it out as I go. And there is a part of me that sometimes feels like, is that a real artist or am I just making this up? So I've definitely struggled with that feeling. And, you know, and also in my own family, I wasn't really considered to be the arty one. I was always creative, but more in a kind of project, almost a businessy kind of way, like always liked trying out new things. I always had something going on, but I wasn't like the super talented drawer or painter and in my family. And so in some ways I've always felt a little bit like, oh, was this meant to happen? You know, it's just made me sometimes feel like, like an imposter in a way. So it has been something that I have definitely felt. But I've also been able to, I guess, come back at it with some words of encouragement to myself. And many years ago, I painted a painting and the title of the painting was Room for Us All. And it stuck with me as just the title of the painting over time. I've reminded myself again and again as I've been sort of, I guess, carving out my career in the art world, that there is room for us all.
Yeah.
And that's been, I guess, Like, it's just been something that I've kept in the back of my mind when these doubts and insecurities come in, that I come back to the fact that we are all unique and that we have different things to offer people. And it's made me think of something else, actually. When I first started looking into going into online classes, I'd done quite a lot of classes, art journaling and various different things, and I had this idea in my head that to be a teacher of an online class, you needed to be really bubbly and really... I'm very passionate about what I do, but I'm not a super, like, bubbly, effervescent person. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of, for a while there, just didn't think that I belonged in that arena, because I'd come up with this type of person that I felt was the type of person that could be kind of a teacher or a leader or that type of thing. And so that was a barrier for me. And I'm just trying to think, how did I get over that barrier? How did I manage to actually...
We were a long time putting classes together.
Yeah.
And I think, like, when we spoke about Instagram and how to get lots of followers and that kind of stuff, we may have inadvertently got a large Instagram following because we were experimenting with time-lapse, filming, photography. And I always wanted to get your voice, but you would never let me. I'd always say, oh, can you talk and paint? Can you do this? And you're like, no, I can't do it. It's too hard. So when you were ready, you were ready. Do you know what I mean? Mm. You didn't get out of bed one Monday morning and say, oh, I think I'm going to do a course now.
Yeah, it was a slow process. And one of the things that happened, and I'll share this because it's quite interesting as to how I actually developed confidence in teaching and mm-hmm. being in front of a camera. So I was quite nervous about talking about my art. And it feels awkward when you start. It doesn't after a while. It actually becomes quite natural. So if you are starting in something like that, you'll be surprised. But what we did in order to get me talking was that you started to ask me questions.
Yeah.
And it reminded me, if you've ever watched Jamie Oliver's first couple of TV series where he was the naked chef ones, I think they were, and there's a lady in the background and you hear her voice, but she asks him questions, and she asks him things like, oh, I see, Jamie, that you're using, coriander. Could you use a different herb? You know, something like that. And you would do that to me. Yeah. You would ask me a question. You'd say, oh, I see you using a paintbrush, a certain type of paintbrush. Do you have to use that paintbrush, or could you use a different one, or something like that? And that's how you started teasing the words out of me.
Yeah.
And then...
But this is before we ever released anything.
Yeah, this was practice. A lot of this stuff was never released to the world. So,
well, cut it down into a time lapse and stick it on Instagram.
Yeah.
So it would become like a 1 minute video.
And no one would hear anything
no.
that I was saying. But we started with that conversational approach. And then that's kind of evolved now. And we don't do that so much anymore because I've developed the confidence to be able to sort of talk to the camera without needing the goo, though you still sometimes ask me things.
It's uncanny because you do a lot of it in one take. It's only the intros and outros that you hate.
I was just terrible at introducing myself. What is it about saying you're this is name. That yeah, yeah, it comes back to this whole insecurity business, doesn't it? Because I have a huge amount of trouble saying, hi, I'm Laura.
Yeah.
Like, how hard is that? Why is that so hard to say,
I
am Laura and I'm an artist, or something like that?
Yeah.
But I was like, it was just a huge block for me to actually introduce myself.
Wasn't that a problem for you in the real world anyway?
I've always struggled with that kind of side of social interactions. I'm fine once I get talking about, like, I'd be fine talking about the art. That would be my comfort zone. So once I was talking about techniques, I'd be really confident. But when I was doing the sort of intro piece talking about me and how I came to come up with the idea and all that sort of stuff, I get very self-conscious.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's something that I've it's been a challenge for me, but the more I do it, the easier it gets. And just saying things like, hi, I'm Laura and I'm a mixed media artist. I live in Adelaide,
yeah.
That type of thing. over time, it does become more natural.
Yeah. So what are we saying here? That we're never good enough? Is that what we're saying? You just got to get on with it. And
I think there's a part of it where, yes, you're always going to have doubts, no matter who you are. You know, if you're a really famous person and you've got a movie coming out, I mean, of course you're going to have doubts about how people are going to receive and critique your role as an actor. If you've got a book coming out, all those sorts of things, it is going to happen.
Yeah.
So acceptance of that is definitely part of it, accepting that it's normal. Yep. And it's what you want, I guess, is for it to not be the boss. It's there, but you've got to be able to sort of put it in its place and keep moving forwards, don't you?
So you get over that side of things. So you get control of your emotions. You realize that, okay, it is good. I know it's good. People have told me it's good. So you're over that hump now. Mm. Okay, it's good enough. It may not be for me, but it's good enough for sale. So yeah. I'm going to sell it.
Yeah, well, it's a little bit like the initial comment where it was said that people are asking me to buy the art. So there's already that sign that it's good enough. There's people out there that want to buy. But there's still that hesitation about selling, about putting it out there, and the fear, I guess, of how that might be received. Mm-hmm. It can be an issue and something that we worry about. And it is hard to, that transition from, say, being a hobby artist to then selling your work, it is a difficult one, because it does change things. Like, you know, if you're used to sharing your work and you've never really put a price on it, and then suddenly you're going to put a price, and you might worry about it being salesy, you might worry about other people, I guess, maybe even being critical of your choice to start selling your art.
Yeah.
Like the judgment from other people, whether they think your art is good enough, or whether, you know, whether you've got too big for your boots now or something like that.
But this is all in your own head.
Yes. This is the sort of stuff that can carry on in your head that can be a barrier to you selling your work. A lot of it is unfounded, but it's the kind of, I guess, the kind of rubbish that goes on in our brains.
See, the problem is, even though we spoke about how do you price your work,
yeah,
there's a psychological attachment, there's an emotional attachment to selling your work, because it's your art.
Yeah, because pricing your work is an emotional decision as well as a practical decision. And I've seen people that price their work too high because they're so emotionally connected to it. And when I say too high, what I mean is that they probably price their work so that it doesn't sell because they're so connected to it. And I know this happens. So there's that. And then, of course, there's the artists that price their work too low. They want to sell it and they don't recognize the value in what they're doing. And they price things too low.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that can be emotional too. That can go back to, I'm not good enough, so it's only worth this.
Yeah, and I think I've probably been caught up on more on that side than the other side, where I've priced my work too low because I want it to sell, and I also, it's again about putting your art prices up higher and then thinking maybe that you aren't worthy of putting those kind of prices up there, or, you know, tying that in with, well, I'm not really a real artist. You know, I didn't go to art school, so I probably can't really charge as much as so-and-so because they're a real artist.
Yeah. Yeah. But just a quick question on that. We've gone in to do changeovers at Local Crowd. Mm. And when we get there, there'll be a piece of art that's been there a while. Let's say it's $840. So you'll say, right, Richie, take it off that wall, put it on this wall, and I'll take 200 bucks off it. Has that worked for you?
Yeah, it has, actually. I find that moving things around helps when I'm selling my art. So just changing up where it is.
Lowering the price.
And lowering the price a little bit usually will then sell. But that's, you know, you some pieces are not going to, I guess, connect as easily with people. They might not, you know, resonate as much. So you got to make some adjustments along the way, I guess. And
talking about connections and just going back to that piece of art that you said you gave it a name.
Yeah, a lot of my paintings, there's a real story that goes on in my pieces, and usually I pick titles that relate to how I was feeling when I was painting the piece, like what was coming up for me. And most of my large paintings, I do have like a really, I just have these like epiphanies when I'm painting. Well, it just goes to show that words are powerful too, as well as you know, the visual impact of the painting. And storytelling is powerful as well. And all aspects of your art process, they all come together. So you don't want to underestimate things. So like last week, we were talking a bit about photography and how you present your work, but also just the process of coming up with a title for your work. That's as well a valuable part of what you do.
Well, I know that's something you're working on at the moment.
Yeah, I love writing as well. So if I hadn't gone down this path of painting, I think that maybe there was, or maybe there still is, who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe there is a path for me with writing, but I'm, in fact, you know, coming back to what I was saying earlier about not being the arty one so much in my family. If anything, I was more of the writer in my family. I loved stories, writing stories. And now one of the things that I've become interested in, and I've set myself a bit of a personal challenge around, is becoming better at how I communicate with words as well as with my art. I want to touch a little bit more, because I did really relate to when she said about the ambivalence and not really wanting to price things and put things up for sale, because I really struggled with that side of like posting, say, on Instagram and putting prices up and actually saying that something was for sale. And I'm still very I'm still kind of
guarded
around the sales side of things. So I'm a quiet seller in a way.
Yeah.
And it's, I still sell, but I don't shout it from the rooftops. Now, whether or not that's the right or wrong answer to this question, but there are ways that you can, I guess, sell your work without being super
salesy.
So maybe we can talk a little bit about that. And this comes down to what you feel comfortable with. There's no right or wrong. Like, it is absolutely fine to price your work, put it up on Instagram, have it on your website, send out newsletters with it about it. That is absolutely fine if that's working for you and you're happy with that approach. But one of the things that I like to do is to, I guess, I think of it more as storytelling. Letting people come along for the ride with me, so that I'm not actually having to say too much. People are already seeing it unfold. So it's more subtle. So I might show that I'm starting to work on a series. I might share some of my feeling a bit anxious about releasing this. I might use a word like release or something like that to give the idea that I'm selling without it being over, you know, sort of in your face, I guess. I think you want to make choices about where you are going to focus your sales efforts. And you still want to make sure that in those places you are providing strong calls to action, because people do need to know how to actually buy your art. And you can make choices about where you want that to be. So I do advertise things for sale on my Instagram feed, but I do put a lot of other things in between so that I'm not constantly saying buy this, buy that, buy this. And I make use of other tools to communicate with people. So I mentioned this last week, actually. I use Instagram stories as a way of driving people to a website links where they can purchase my art or sign up for an online class. I use my newsletter to let people know about new things and to give them first look at things. So if I have a new series, I'll post that out to my newsletter. But again, I try and, you know, not have every newsletter that I send out being something that I'm trying to sell. So there is that balance of...
You'll say something along the lines of, ooh, this has now found a new home.
Yeah, that's right. It is about language, isn't it? And what kind of language that you like to use. And you can use things that people understand that you're selling, but without it being... Like, I'm just really... I guess I just don't like that kind of stuff. Yeah. So I have to come up with a way, because I'm a bit like that. I don't really... I'm thinking of those emails, you know, that you get that are the really salesy emails where, you know, there's always something more, and then if you do this, you get this, and, you know, you're still thinking about it, well, I'll throw this in for you, that type of stuff. Yeah, I can't stand them. Like, I really can't stand them. So, and then I get into this, you know, this world where I'm trying to sell things, and I'm like, oh, how am I meant to do this when I have such a strong, like, reaction to this kind of style of selling? But there are other ways, aren't there?
It's a hard one, because I was always of the impression, you know, get out there, sell, push, push, push. And you were like, no, I'm not going to. And I was like, what are we going to do? Like, we don't, this is our job.
I am the anti-seller. And the thing is, right, I mean, I could probably sell a whole lot more if I decided to go with that direction of sending, you know, 10 emails a day to people, but I'm just not going to go there. And it comes from, like, when you were talking about at the beginning about this barrier towards selling, part of it, I think, is about finding a way to sell that you feel comfortable and fits with what you value as a person. And that's probably been my path to selling, has been to be able to sell, but to feel good about how I'm doing it, and for it to be enough, you know. Yeah. As I say, we're not going to be millionaires, but that's okay, because I feel happy about the way that I carry on my...
We're sitting in our kitchen having a podcast in the middle of the day. It's fantastic.
Exactly. Like, there's other things that are, you know, really important. So it's about having a sales strategy that fits in with your big picture. It's going to be different for everybody.
The question was, someone's asked to buy a piece of my art, and I don't think I should sell it. Why on earth wouldn't you? Somebody likes your work enough to reach out to you and say, I want to buy that, if it's for sale, of course. So just sell it.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to take that leap, don't you, and do it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of doubt that creeps in around whether or not, and it was mentioned in this message about whether or not I've found my style yet. I think it can be a barrier, particularly if you think of style, like your own style, as being an end point that you're going to reach one day. Like, one day you're just suddenly going to have it all figured out. It's not going to happen like that. I can tell you now that I am still figuring out my style. Right now I feel like I'm going through a change in my style. I'm feeling more and more drawn to earthier colors. My color palettes are changing. Various aspects of my art, you know, it's moving in a different direction, and that happens. So style will evolve over time. I think sometimes we do get very attached to this idea of having this unique style. Yeah. We're all unique already, and how you approach things, even if you're trying to replicate an artist, you won't even realize that you've actually got more of you in your work than you realize. And if you can grow that over time and bring in more of your own influences, then you'll be well on your way to being ready to release your work for sale. So once you can start to, you know, I guess a few tips around your style. You want to be drawing inspiration from many different sources. And that would be, whether that be other artists, but also just from your life. You know, I draw a lot of inspiration from what's around me, including what I wear. You know, if anyone's been in my classes, you'll know that I draw inspiration from around from things like what I have in my home, the things that I bring into my home, the colours that I like to wear in my clothes, the patterns on my mug that I drink my tea out of, the bushes and trees that surround me in my garden. Like, a lot of it is very close to home. And so I think you want to be just checking in that you're bringing in you into your art. Just have a look and go, does this art feel like me? And then if you can start to see things that are, you know, that they're signs of your personality and your story in your art, and then you can continue to evolve that. It doesn't have to be all figured out as this style that you will now have for the rest of, you know, for all eternity, you will be known for this. But that you feel that your art is coming from that place inside yourself.
Yeah.
Because I do feel like this could be a really big barrier for people if they get too caught up in it. And for most people, their art is going to be an expression of themselves. And there's so much to be gained from learning through actually doing.
So your advice to that lady, we'll close on this. What should she do?
I think that she should go back to that person and say thank you very much for contacting me about my artwork. And she should be, I guess, completely honest about where she is at on her path. And if she is ready to start selling, then she can start that conversation of, yes, it is available.
Sell it.
And sell it.
I'm saying sell it.
Richie's saying sell it. I'm still like, just make sure you feel good about it and all
sell
that.
Sell it.
Yeah, sell the piece of art. Yeah.
The hardest thing she's going to do is put a price on that.
Yeah. One of the things, though, she did mention was, you know, that there's a lot of people out there, artists, that aren't monetizing their art. I guess you've got to really look at what your motivations are, because there's plenty of people out there making art that will never sell anything because they're happy to just be making art, and they might not want to necessarily monetize it or make an income from it or set up a website, and that's absolutely fine too. I guess it's what is your why? Like, what's the reason that you want to sell for?
The great thing about selling your art at that level is that it pays for your materials.
Yeah, and that might be part of your why. You might go, you know what, I'm going to sell a few pieces when people reach out to me. I decide not to actually be super salesy, depending on whether you want to or not. But if you don't, you might just say, look, I'll put a few pieces out. If it's available, I'll sell those and I'll use that money to buy supplies so I can carry on with my art. And that might be an absolutely perfect approach.
Yeah, or you can buy those expensive watercolors.
And you know what? That's actually how I started selling, now that you've mentioned it. When I first started selling, my goal was to just sell some paintings so I could buy some more paint. That was really, I went so deep into the whole art thing that it was getting expensive. And that's what motivated me for my first few sales. So a little bit of healthy motivation can get you over that hurdle too. So if you attach to, you know, your sales to something that you find rewarding, then you might feel a bit more motivated to put it out there and start selling. Well, that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. This week's podcast came about because we were asked a question over on my Instagram page and we loved answering it. So it's made us think that we would like to answer some more questions. So if you have anything that you would like us to chat about on the podcast, please send your ideas through to me. And you can catch me on pretty much all my social channels, so Instagram, Facebook, all on Laura Horn Art. So if you would like to send your suggestions through, we would love to hear them. So thank you very much again.